Surviving Life with the Vambillies is about a Christian perspective on everyday challenges surrounding work, family, and marriage.
The aim of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings. We hope you're all doing well, and today we wanted to talk about a topic called regression, right?
What is regression?
Well, regression is when
sounds
you...
Sounds like regretting or something.
Kind of close. It is about past things, but not in that way.
All right.
It's when you stay stuck, particularly mentally or psychologically, in a previous season or situation. But this came to us because we were watching a documentary about Japan. And Japan, they have these communities, or this community, they're called Hikigomoris. I hope I'm saying it correctly.
Sounds right.
So Hikigomoris are a group of men or women in the Japanese area or the Japanese country where they gave up on life completely.
Yes.
So apparently the way that Japan is set up is that right after university, is it? You get into a lifelong job.
Yeah.
So in university, there are like these workshops that happen, and you go visit it and you get assigned to a company, and you typically are with that company and you kind of progress in the ranks of that same company until you die. The issue with that is that if you're not picked in those processes, then it's kind of done for you.
Yeah,
but that's
like
how
you messed up for life.
Exactly. And that's how it's set up also in primary school and high school, because whatever you did in primary school determines all these things. So what happens is that when someone doesn't make it in one of those lower foundational ranges, they don't get into the job, they don't get into the university, they don't get into the high school, some people give up. So right now, statistically, there's over 1 million people in Japan who have taken themselves completely out of society. And what it's created is something called like the 80-30 issue, where 80-year-old parents are taking care of 30 and 50-year-old children.
Yeah.
The one particular family that was, you know, focused on, the mother was 85 years old. Her son was 55 years old. He was still living in his childhood room, and she, with a cane, and she was like limping, was making dinner. So they're not even active in the home. They don't get married. They don't date. And they stay stuck in that room until the elderly parent dies. And hopefully they inherit something that the Hikigomori can live off of. Mm. And then they end up in the streets.
You know, it's a very sad situation. Also, one of the important things. Now, you can just imagine if you're going to have one job probably for the rest of your life. There's now a pressure from the primary school level that the child needs to be smart. You know, the child needs to get it right. Everyone must be on the same pace. Mm. And any child not keeping up is ostracized immediately.
Mm.
And those children then from, because some of the cases where a child from primary school will say, look, this and this happened in primary school. So I pulled out, never went back. And now they are in their 40s, 50s, and this thing that happened to them in primary school is defining the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could be sitting there wondering, like, yo, how could this, you know, even be allowed to happen? And, you know, you thinking this is very foreign from you. But you and I are similar.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the issues when we probe you and we really begin to speak to people, especially even in counseling platforms, we end up in the childhood where stuff that happened in your house when you were a child, even though you're a grown adult now, living by yourself, you still go back to those things. You still say, yo, mom and dad used to say 4, 5, 6, I went to school and in school I was treated like this. You know, we even see this a lot in movies. It's almost like there's an obsession with high school culture. Who were you in high school? You know, and it's almost like that is meant to define you for the rest of your life. If you are cool in high school, now as an adult, you know, there's a certain status you have. But that's not true, you know. We are stuck in regression. Maybe Letitia, you can go more into this so that people can identify what they're doing in their lives that are proof of regression.
You know, there's actually a very good example of this that we watched again. It was another documentary. You were actually watching it and I jumped on. It was of a young man who was having his high school reunion, and he got someone who looked similar to him but better to impersonate him at his own high school reunion. Yes. And he sat in a van outside the school hall watching this guy impersonate him. And one of his dreams was to sing in front of his high school because he did something in choir that embarrassed him and it gave him a nickname in his high school. Yeah. And I think he was bullied for it or something like that. So this guy who's stuck in a van, by the way, is a dentist. He's a doctor. He's successful by society's accounts. Mm-hmm. He looks good enough. He is well-versed. He is eloquent. By looking at him, you don't understand why he's doing this. So he's watching this guy in his high school impersonate him, and people are kind of buying it. And then what happens?
I think a girl who walked or worked with his dad.
His dad, yeah.
Actually looked at him and was like, no, you're not.
You're not him.
Because I've seen pictures. I've worked with the father, you know. So eventually they catch the guy out.
And nobody understood. When the guy, by the way, who did jump on stage and he sang excellently, everyone at the reunion was like, what is going on? That's not even him, right? And when the, you know, interviewer then said to the people, hey, by the way, such and such a guy is stuck in the van. He doesn't want to come out because of what happened in high school. People were like shocked. They were like, but I think he's so successful. I'm proud of what he's become. The fact that he's become a dentist like his dad, it's so impressive. And suddenly the guy was like, oh my goodness, these people actually think I'm cool. These people don't have an issue with me. So he ends up coming out of the van. And that is a very, very good example of regression. Mm-hmm. When we're living so much in the past, we don't even see that we have changed, not just to ourselves, but to society. Mm-hmm. And as I was judging these people, because I was judging these people, I was judging the people
looking
in Japan.
Like,
I was judging the people in the Japan, and I was judging the people in the van. Hey, that rhymes. Anyway, as I was judging them, I really felt a nudge in my spirit, the Lord saying, but Tish, I deal with that with you guys all the time, where I'm trying to tell you, according to Isaiah 43, verse 19, that I'm doing a new thing, and you're sitting there saying, but no, I can't do this new thing because this is what I'm used to.
My father did this.
Yes.
My mother said that.
I can't be the one to be married. Mm-hmm. This is what I saw at home. Mm-hmm. I can't be a mother. I didn't have a mother, you know. And the enemy is very, very good at modeling to us the wrong version of what God wants to do in our lives.
That's true. That's true.
Just to keep us from going there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you've got, you know, anything to add to that.
I think this is why that scripture for me, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, it's so important. Because when we read it, we're just like, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. When I look at that, it's really saying that there's a way a child thinks, you know. There's a way a child talks. There's a way, as you grow, that you reason. Now, if you find yourself no longer in that state, but still thinking like a child, talking like a child, and reasoning like a child, there's a problem. Now, when I say a child, you're going to think, but I don't really think like a child. But do you think like the younger version of you? You know, are you stuck in the loop? You know, are you still repeating to yourself in your old age what your teacher said to you in high school? I mean, think about that. What were you in high school? What were you as a child? And even if your parents were wrong and they said abusive stuff to you, you know, we're not negating, you know, that it's not bad enough. Yes, it's bad enough. Very bad things happen to you. But you have to choose to work through them. You have to choose to reach a place where you're not talking. And when you are rude to people and they tell you, but why are you being rude? No, when I was a child, they said this, they did this to me. That's a problem. Mm-hmm. If you are, when you think, you're always thinking, as accomplished as you are, but your thoughts still come from a place of insignificance. You know, maybe I won't do it. Some of you, your success is actually fueled by your fear. There's something wrong with that because you can't even enjoy the things that you're accomplishing because the things that have chased you your whole life have come with you into your adulthood. Last but not most important is the reasoning. The way you reason tells you something about yourself. It tells you if you've overcome things or you are just carrying dead things with you. Now, if you are carrying dead things with you, they will keep bringing you. There'll be a weight that holds you back. There'll be a weight that goes with you in a room, you know. Everyone else will see who you are, but you'll never enjoy a day of your being.
Mm-hmm. When you speak about doing away with childish things, I was just having a thought that doing away with childish things must mean doing away with previous seasons, doing away with whatever happened before. Mm-hmm. And I've heard this being said before, we are the sum up of our experiences. And, you know, recently I was thinking about it and I really felt the Holy Spirit saying, you are not the sum of your experiences. You are everything I say you are. Mm. And the difference there is God entering the sum up of your experiences and saying, okay, from your experiences, take this, leave that. Mm. Eat the meat, spit the bones. It's not everything we take with us that we allow to mold our personalities. Mm. Because there's this human kind of default to build around a wound. Mm. And the enemy knows that. So he allows or facilitates a wound in your life, typically early on, and then we just kind of build around it. Oh, this happened to me, so it means. No, no, no. It doesn't mean anything that God didn't tell you it means. Mm. I use the example of the elephants, and I don't know if you've seen the elephants in circuses or in Asia where they do exactly as the master says. They lift up their hand and this big animal that can trample his master is doing everything the master says. And that's because that elephant is trained as a child. You know, when the cement is still wet and the elephant is still really tiny, that's when that trainer gets a hold of that elephant. And because the elephant's memory is long, all they remember is the authority of that person over them as a child. So it imprints.
They even tie them up. They beat them up for like 24 hours.
Yeah.
And really abuse them to a point where the elephant experiences so much pain and it never forgets.
Yeah, they establish in the elephant's psyche that they have power, they have authority. And so it's likened to putting your imprint on wet cement. So what happens is as that elephant grows up, they have the master's imprint. And so they don't even know how big they are, that if they really didn't want to do that thing, they could really not just trample the master, but really the entire circus. Mm. And a lot of us emotionally, this is what happens with us.
Yes.
And the things will tend to happen young. And I believe that's why there's this obsession with high school. Mm-hmm. And Danny knows how I feel about that. This constant thing of movies of high school. If you were the jock, you must be the jock forever. If you were the pretty girl, you must be the pretty girl forever. And how it just keeps us in a state of regression, right?
Yeah.
Because you could have been the pretty girl in high school, but you're called to be so much more. You can be pretty and, you know, or you can accept that there was a certain season in your life where you dressed like this and you like this and you're allowed to grow and like something else. And it keeps us in these boxes that we can't break out of, but we constantly see God pushing us out of our boxes. God didn't let Gideon stay small.
No.
He said, listen, you come from the smallest family in the smallest city, the youngest one of however many siblings, but I want you to break out of that mold. I want you to break out of that smallness. Mm. I want you to lead an army. I want you to free a people. And so when you're feeling a nudge that God is calling you to do something that is so outside of what you've experienced, you need to understand that scripture says we walk by faith and not by sight, because sight is deceptive. Mm-hmm. I once saw a poem that said, you know, for even salt looks like sugar. So if we constantly go with what we're seeing, we will miss out on what the true call is for us. And the enemy perverts. The enemy doesn't know how to build.
Yes.
I always say we are so focused. When we see a broken glass, all we think is, oh, that's a broken glass, that's a broken glass. But Jesus came to restore us to the Father. So if Jesus is restoring the glass,
yeah,
then it becomes a whole glass, right? Mm. So when scripture speaks of the enemy coming to steal, to kill, and to destroy, John 10:10, then you have to understand that all the enemy can do is steal, kill, or destroy. He can't build. Mm. So if you see someone that's struggling with depression, it's just the perversion of joy. If you see someone struggling with lust, it's just the perversion of holiness. Mm. So he just comes in you, in your life, and he destroys or perverts or steals what was meant to be there. So sometimes you've grown up in this incredibly abusive situation because you're meant for so much more. And the hindrances that the enemy will put in our path will make sure that you see the complete opposite of who you are. We actually see it with Esther, who was meant to be queen but grew up as an orphan. Hmm. That's night and day.
That's literally going from having not even a parent, having nothing, to being the ruler of the whole land. You know, when you're talking about, you know, remembering, we keep remembering these things that are in our past. I like how scripture is very specific on what thoughts we should have.
Mm.
That whatever is good, whatever is pure, set your mind on those things.
Set.
Like you have to go and say, I'm not going to sit the whole time. Oh, when I was a child, this happened to me. They did this, they did that. But even more, Paul actually took it to the next level, because Paul did some things in his adulthood just before he got saved that would have been very heavy for him.
Mm.
You know, in Philippians 3:13, brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I've made it my own yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead.
Mm.
Sometimes the reason you are not getting ahead is because you're not forgetting what lies behind.
Mm.
You're so focused on what you did, who did what to you, you know, how they did it, how the people you helped came against you, or the church that let you down, the friends that let you down. All of us have those experiences.
Mm.
We all do.
Mm-hmm.
All of us have, you know, walked through a path where things didn't work out. We've even prayed for things that we thought would happen, and they didn't happen. But what God will come and tell you, have faith again. Trust again.
Believe
stand
again.
Up again. Believe again. Focus again, you know. Don't just sit there and say, look, because this happened to me, I'm just going to stay here and die, which is basically what those the people in Japan are doing, you know. And we're speaking from a compassionate place. We're not talking down on them. We're saying what they're doing is just a physical picture of what we all do internally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of us have that in us. It's operating in the way you speak, you know. That's why you struggle with imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome is simply, you know, growing to a place where you're like, no, I'm pretending. This can't really be me. You know, I'm an imposter in my own success. No, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You called to this.
Mm-hmm.
You've worked hard to be here.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord set you apart from birth so that you become this person that you are. Mm. You know, so walk in your grace. Mm. Accept, you know, your future.
Mm.
Stop being so stuck in your past that you can't, you know, perform, that you can't be who God has clearly called you to be.
You know what's so interesting about the tactics of the enemy to take you from who you're truly called to be is that when we started, we were talking about the hikikomoris from Japan, people who failed and so have given up on life, failed in parentheses, of course. But there was also a young man in that documentary who was very successful. He was a successful businessman. He was working for one of the top 500 companies in the land.
Mm.
And he was in economics and finances, and the interviewer couldn't understand why he was living such a reclusive life. He will go to work, come back home, and, you know, make noodles, and that's his life. The man was married to a doll. She was an anime doll, and he called her his wife, and his family is very accepting of this relationship that he has with the doll. So at the wedding, there was a, you know, I guess a spiritual leader who was officiating the ceremony, and the doll had on a veil. And his family was there to support the marriage. And his reason for being in love with the doll is that when he was being bullied in grade 3, this cartoon would keep him company. So this man grows up to actually be successful. Remember, the whole point of this other group of people, the hikikomoris, is that they're not successful. But what does the enemy do? Even when you are successful, he's like, oh, you're nobody based on what happened in grade 3. Well, that's a 9-year-old. So he actually has, he's good looking, he's well-groomed, he's financially stable. There's no reason why he shouldn't be able to find a mate to build a life with. And as I was watching this, I was just seeing the enemy stealing from this man. Stealing from the fullness. You know, scripture says, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So what that means is that you can have life, but not in abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just see the abundance being sucked out of this man. And we have to be able to stand up wherever you are, stand up and claim your abundance. It is yours in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that you are blessed with every blessing in Christ Jesus. And what the enemy tries to do is to make sure that you don't claim none of it. You don't enjoy none of it. And it's about time that we begin to see some of the tactics of the enemy and speak against it to say, I am called to this thing. And yes, that's why this thing has been so challenging for me, because the enemy is always trying to steal, kill, or destroy God's perfect will for my life.
So we are challenging you to acknowledge yourself as you are now, you know, to see that you've overcome, to see that the things of your past are in the past.
Yes.
The people you're thinking about, some of them are dead. There's nothing they can do to harm you.
Yeah.
It's time to let yourself go. It's time to let yourself grow. It's really time to step out of your old identity.
Yes.
You know, those chains, it's almost like I just saw a picture of someone having handcuffs that are loose.
Mm.
But you just have to really take it off.
Yeah.
Take them off.
Mm.
You know, there's no one in your room keeping it there.
Yes.
But sometimes there's spiritual stuff that makes sure you stay bound. And I believe we want to touch on a topic where we're going to speak on that,
mm-hmm,
just to help you identify what's working in your life.
Yes, please come out of that cocoon. You're a butterfly. You've matured into the next season of your life. And the same God that took you through the last season is with you in this season. Remember that wherever you go, there you are. So happiness and purpose is not a destination, but it is a state of spiritual being.
Goodbye from the Vambilis. See you next time.
Thank you for joining us on Surviving Life with the Vambilis.
Remember that you can join us every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to hear the entirety of the show, 30 minutes uninterrupted.
And tomorrow from 11 to 1 p.m., you can tune in for our discussions where we get to hear from you and discuss the topic further.
You can WhatsApp us during the live show using 071-364-0376 so that we can hear your opinions, your thoughts, and of course your experiences, and play your voice notes live on air.
And on social media, you can also get us on IG under Impact 103 to be exact. You can also find us on Facebook on Impact Live.
And our personal pages, Surviving Life with the Vambilis, you can just type in at the Vambilis and join all our discussions there as well.
We look forward to having these discussions with you on a weekly basis. Myself, Danny Vambili, and with my lovely wife,
Letitia Vambili. This is us signing off. Until next week.
Goodbye.